Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today. Unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. I want to talk about freedom and responsibility. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people who call themselves Democrats or Republicans, and there's a lot of people who call themselves libertarians that are going to lie to you and pretend that you can have one without the other. You can have freedom, but no responsibility. That's what they want you to believe, because who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be able to have freedom, no responsibility? Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be able to have the benefits of freedom without the work of responsibility? The problem is you can't do that. And here's why. Here's why. Yeah, you want the freedom. Let's say you want a freedom to be high all the time. I think you should have that freedom. If you want to just be high as a kite every single day, you should absolutely have that freedom. But you got to understand that there's going to be some responsibility that goes with that. That means you need to figure out what kind of job can you do where you can be high all the time. It's not a lot of jobs. But there are some jobs. Maybe you function very well when you're high. But that's on you. See, it's not that the rest of us owe you a living. The rest of us owe you food and water and shelter. The rest of us don't owe you anything. If you want that freedom to be high all the time, then you need to take their financial responsibility to find a way to take care of yourself in that circumstance. And if you cannot, that's no one's fault but yours. If you cannot find a way to be sober, and you also can't find a way to provide yourself, provide for yourself in the state of permanent intoxication, that's no one's fault but yours. The decisions you make, you need to pay for them. That's where freedom comes from. Imagine if it was the reverse, right? Imagine if it said that, yeah, you can do, we're going to be responsible for whatever you do. Let's say we as a society say, we're going to pay for whatever you do. Well, now we have a different issue, right? If I have to pay for your life decisions, I don't want you being high all the time. I don't want you being high at all. I don't want you drinking a single drop of alcohol. I don't want you taking a vacation. I don't want to be at risk to have to pay for anything. I don't want you buying a house that you can barely get into. I want you to work nonstop, save all of your money, have no kids ever, don't enjoy yourself in any way, because all I want you to do is work so that I don't have to pay for you. If you don't have financial responsibility, I basically want you to be working all the time. I want you to be spayed or neutered, and I want you to be spending no money on anything other than bare minimum survival. And I want you saving the rest just in case. Just in case, I want to make sure you have money so I don't have to pay for you. But if I don't have to pay for you, then do whatever you want. If I don't need to pay for you, you can do any. I don't care what you do. If you want to have one kid or 50 kids, go ahead. If you want to, you know, date whoever you find the most attractive and marry somebody that's very good looking but maybe not so hardworking, I don't care. That's your business. Enjoy yourself. But if I have to pay, no. I don't want you marrying somebody because they look good. I don't want you dating someone because they look good. I want you to marry somebody who is past child rearing age and makes as much money as possible. I only want you dating a sugar dad or a sugar mom. That's all I want you to do. Because now it's my problem. If you make yourself my problem, then I want to make you as small as possible. I want to smush you down. And that's the problem with this kind of fake libertarianism. It takes what would be fine and turns us into enemies. If you want to smoke, I don't care. Smoke all day. If I have to pay for your health consequences, then you better never smoke. Don't even think about smoking. If I have to pay for it, I don't want you even near secondhand smoke. if I have to pay for it, then I just want you just, you know, at most maybe getting kind of some kind of special cigarette that either immediately kills you or has no effect. I do not want to have to pay for you. And that's the problem with this kind of fake libertarianism. This kind of fake libertarianism that removes responsibility from the equation. Freedom and responsibility go together. If you want the freedom to do something that people think is stupid, then you need to have the financial responsibility to back it up. If you want to make decisions that I think are insane, you have that right unless I have to pay for them. Then you don't have that right. If I have to pay for your decisions, then I want some input on those decisions. If I have to pay for those decisions, then I want to be able to decide what you eat every day. That's right. If I have to pay for you, I want to be able to pick your food. I want to be able to set up your exercise regimen. I want to be able to make those decisions because they affect me now. That's libertarianism. Libertarianism is do whatever you want as long as it affects no one else. So we have to create a society in which your actions don't affect anyone else. If you want to, you know, have 55 kids, that doesn't affect me unless I have to pay for it, and then it does affect me. If I have to pay for your kids, I want mandatory abortions. Before that, I want you neutered or spayed. Now, obviously, I don't really want you neutered or spayed. I think that having kids is a wonderful and positive thing to do. But the point that I'm making is really, really simple. Freedom can only exist. Freedom is only possible in the context of financial responsibility. It is only meaningful. It is only anything other than stupid in the context of financial responsibility. We talk about opening borders. I love open borders. I'm all about open borders as long as there's no welfare. Because otherwise, it's just a big, giant welfare program for the whole world. If I have to pay welfare, I want closed borders. I want those borders as closed as possible. I want the walls to be 50 feet high, and I want them to be just like covered with some kind of explosives and all kinds of things. If I have to pay for welfare, if I don't have to pay for welfare, get rid of the wall. If I don't have to pay for government schools, get rid of the wall. And that feeling about the borders, that's the same thing as the other types of freedom. If I don't have to pay for you, then I don't care what you do. No one cares. No one really cares. If you don't have to pay, no one cares. You know, I've talked to a lot of people on various parts of the spectrum. And the people who are the most about restricting others, a lot of it comes down to financial things. They say, of course, we want to make sure that kids are forced to go to school, otherwise they're just going around having kids that I have to pay for. Of course I want these laws. Of course I don't want anyone to be doing drugs, because then they might not have a job and they have to pay for their welfare. And that's all it is. If you want more freedom, you must advocate for more responsibility. They go together like taxes and spending. You know that if you want to cut taxes, you need to cut spending. We all know that, right? If you want to increase freedom, you need to increase responsibility. They go together. You cannot have one without the other, no matter what people tell you. And people will tell you all kinds of things because they want to always offer you the good without the bad. They want to trick you into believing that you can have the fun parts without the work parts. So of course they're going to try to tell you that. Why do they want that? Because they want your money. They want your support. They want your something. They want you to like them. So they're going to lie to you. You can't separate the two. You cannot separate freedom from responsibility. Here's the other good thing, though. You get enough responsibility in there, then freedom's basically limitless. If you don't have to pay a cent for Medicaid, Do you care if somebody else drives without a motorcycle helmet? God, no. Let them drive. If you don't have to pay a cent for welfare, do you care how many kids someone has? No. If you don't have to pay for government schools, do you care if somebody, how many kids someone has? Somebody has 50 kids. You don't care. You say, great, God bless you. Have a, they, well, you have a wonderful family. But if you have to pay for it, if you have to pay for it, well, now all of a sudden, this is just somebody who's like using their kids to rob you. That's where that animosity comes from. If we want to have peace, if we want to have prosperity, if we want to have friendship, if we want to have amity, if we want to have freedom, we must absolutely insist on full, complete, total, no exception, full financial responsibility. And here's what that looks like. If you have a kid, you pay for all of it. All of the education, all of the healthcare, all of the everything. You, you, and you. No one else. If you want to start a business, awesome. You got to pay for it. You raise the money for it. You want to do some art, excellent. I love art, but you need to do the art. It can't be cut, but tax-funded subsidy. If you want to do research, it can't be coming from stolen money through taxes. Scientists wonder why so many people are turning against them. It's not that we hate science. We just hate you because you keep trying to rob us. It's not a opposition to science. No one in their right mind opposes science. We oppose theft. Stop stealing and you'll win some people over. Imagine in this day and age, we have people who are opposed to science. They're not opposed to science, and they're not even opposed to scientists. They're just opposed to welfare scientists, the ones who can't get out of out of bed in the morning without getting some kind of a government grant first, can't do anything without a government grant, who are always spending their lives seeking government grants that are made, that are gotten through stolen money from you, money stolen from you. Yeah, of course nobody wants to support that. But if you don't, if you want to research whatever crazy, weird stuff you want to, yeah, why would we care? If we're not forced to pay for it, if somebody's voluntarily paying for it, if you're paying for it, we don't care. Do whatever you want. People say, you know, we're trying to restrict all these different types of research. No one's trying to restrict any research. We just don't want to pay for it. That's it. Get someone else to pay for it. We're going to stop restricting, trying to fight it. But if you keep on doing this, people are going to keep fighting against any kind of scientific research, and I'm going to be right at the front of that list. I'll be leading the charge. I don't care what the reason is. I don't care if people are opposing that theft for religious reasons or just because they're crazy or because like me, they don't want theft. Any theft funded, anything is wrong, and I'm going to be proud to fight against it. If you want to learn more, please go to lp.org. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. I'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Have you found the beauty inside of you? Join Bonnie Bonadeo each week for Beauty Inside and Out. We'll explain how beauty plays a part in everybody's lives. Our guests are makeup artists, hairdressers, and doctors. But we'll also feature holistic and wellness specialists and spiritual advisors. You can find that beauty inside and express it to its fullest on the outside. Tune in to Beauty Inside and Out every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
What's your coffee story? The one that defines who you truly are in a relaxing setting. It's where you share your memories, plan for the future, and talk about the now. My Favorite Coffee Story is here with host Aniko Somogyi. We invite you to listen in and share your coffee stories too. Bring your friends or just stop by as we talk about coffee and the inspiring stories that touch our lives every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We've talked a lot about abolishing government schools and abolishing the identical replacements, vouchers, charter schools, or whatever. I mean, all welfare-funded education. All things that say you get to steal from somebody else to pay for your child care. And in that, one of the questions that's been coming up a lot lately, I came up last week at Porkfest, where I had the privilege of speaking as one of the main stage speakers, is what about colleges? Aren't colleges good? No. Colleges remind me right now of the wedding industry. You have something that should realistically cost not that much. I've been to parties that have a couple hundred people in it, and the total spending was maybe a couple hundred bucks. But if you have a couple hundred people coming to your wedding, if you do it the quote right way, it's not going to be a couple hundred bucks. It's going to be a lot. I have met people who have gone into debt to pay for their wedding. They're beginning their lives together in debt. In order to have to do it the way that you're supposed to do it and be all pretty and wear all the silly clothes and, have some disgusting tasting but very, very ornate cake, you got to pay a lot. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it except for the one thing, which is really, really, really stupid. It's just like the stupidest waste of money that I can possibly imagine except for one, and that one is college. Most people who go into debt to pay for their weddings, they pay off the debt relatively quickly. I still think it's a weird thing to do, but it's not, you don't meet a lot of people who are in wedding debt for 30 years. College debt, it's routinely 30 years. You have people in their 50s paying off their student loans. I know some of those people. And they're not bad people. They're not irresponsible people. They just made a weird decision when they were 18. And they ended up with this huge amount of debt. Now, the age is important. The age is really important here. Because this is an age where you're considered too young to rent a car. You have a driver's license, but the car rental places say, I'm not going to trust this 18-year-old kid with this, $9,000 Hyundai. Because 18-year-olds, they make weird decisions. They don't have good judgment. So we're not going to let 18-year-olds. We have a standing policy that if you are not 25, you can't drive this car. A lot of the gun control people are trying to raise the age of buying a gun to 21. That's a very, very stupid idea. Because now it means that if you're a woman from the age of 18 to 21, you're basically a rape target for the entire world. But the idea that people who are 18, maybe their judgment isn't 100% perfect, that idea is out there. Now, when we're talking about renting a car, this $9,000 Hyundai or something that's even cheaper, you say that 18-year-olds don't have the responsibility to do it. However, the same thing, and it's not just rental car companies are so crazy. Credit card companies won't give 18-year-olds a very large amount of credit. If you're 18 and you don't have a job, your credit limit's going to be about 40 bucks, maybe 500 if you're lucky. If you're a very, very responsible 18-year-old, you started building your credit when you were 13 or something, maybe it's 1,000, but it's not 100,000. You don't have a $100,000 credit limit on your credit card when you're 18. And yet, we have this system of entrapment that tricks 18-year-olds into basically taking on a $200,000 loan for something of very dubious value. The way this is done is by tricking 18-year-olds into believing that college is, one, necessary, educationally necessary, and two, the bigger one is that it is necessary to get any kind of a job. The first thing I think most kids are starting to realize is maybe not true. I think more and more kids are realizing that, yeah, you don't actually need to go to college to get educated because you have free online education. When you go to college, they're going to make you do your most of the educating independently anyway. I mean, a lot of the professors are so bad that you can't understand what they're saying. Sometimes because they have a very heavy accent, usually just because they don't care. They're not there to teach. An Ivy League level college is not there for teaching. It's there for research. Teaching is an afterthought, so no one cares about it. They just want to use undergraduates as cash cows to pay for their hobbies. So you have 18-year-olds who are tricked into taking on these huge loans for degrees of very questionable value. And some of these 18-year-olds, they're saying, listen, I need to study this so I can do this. Fine. And sometimes it's a thing that you can only do at college. And that's also fine. There are certain things that universities do well. I'm not saying they don't do anything well ever. There's a couple things that some universities probably do well. But it's not most universities and it's not most things. Most of the people who are going there to, quote, get their degree, they don't need it. And if you at some point decide you want to pursue a line of work that does require a degree, a college degree, you always go to college then. But that's not what they want had to have happening. Not too long ago, Nick Sarwark posted – Nick Sarwark, by the way, is the chair of the Libertarian National Committee. He posted that it would be good to raise the age of enlistment to 21. And many people argued against it. The primary argument against it was that who in their right mind when they're 21 would still want to enlist? They basically said by the time you're 21, you have enough of your life together. You're not going to go on this kind of fool's errand to have somebody else command you what to do and what to dress and what to eat and how to tie your shoes and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to put up with that when you're 21. Very few 21-year-olds would bother with that. So they said they won't be able to recruit. Obviously, that was probably the point of the post. It's just me speculating on the motivation. But that's what they said. And the same thing with college. If that decision was being made by people in their 20s and 30s, most people with some actual life experience would say, listen, this is not necessary. It's not even beneficial. You know, you have people who go there and to this like culture of basically drugs and date rape and expect to get something so amazingly wonderful out of it. You know, besides the liver problem and STD, I'm not sure that you can really get that much in college that you can't get just basically anywhere. The problem is the reason that this is possible, the reason that these loans are possible is because the government backs the loans with your tax money. And this allows banks to lend money to people that they should not be lending money to. It's very predatory lending. And the end result is you got people who are in debt to pay for degrees and just all kinds of social justice nonsense. And we need to change that. We need to stop that. It's not good. It is not good to prey on young people. It's not good to saddle people with that. I don't know. I honestly don't know who's worse. I don't know who's worse. Military recruiters preying on young people or colleges manipulating young people in this way. I don't know who's worse. In the military, you lose a leg. In college, you lose $200,000 and you get lifelong debt. Which of those is worse? I don't know. Maybe the $200,000. Dollars is less bad. But losing your leg is worse. I'll admit that. But it's not that losing $200,000 is great. It's not that it's great to start your life saddled with debt. It's not great to be crippled, stressed out, anxious, wondering how you're going to pay for this, not understanding why this degree that was supposed to get you all these jobs obviously doesn't. It's not a good way to start out life. And everyone knows that. And we still let colleges – it's not that we let colleges keep doing it. We keep enabling colleges to do this. We do it with government subsidies. And what we need to do is shut down those subsidies. Getting a college loan should be just like getting any loan. The bank should say, excuse me, the bank should say this is reasonable or not. Here's an interest rate. Here's what we think this risk is going to be. Here's the payback time we're expecting. That's what it should be like. It should be just like getting a small business loan. If you try to get a small business loan for a very stupid idea, you won't get one. If you want to get a small business loan for a less stupid idea, you probably will. Now, colleges don't like this because it would cause the number of colleges to plummet. It would force them to drop their tuitions by a lot. Because if you're thinking, well, a bank is never going to give an 18-year-old $200,000 to study some nonsense, yeah, no kidding. That's the point. That's what bank – people are like, these banks are so evil. No, they're not. Part of their job is to guide you and prevent you from making huge financial errors. That's the guidance of the free market. If you say, I want to borrow a bunch of money and invest in some very stupid idea, you want the bank to say no. That's what the bank is supposed to do. The bank in this case is your friend. The bank is helping you avoid major, major, catastrophically bad financial decisions. That's what it's for. How do we want to say banks are all evil? Not this time. This time they're actually good. They're going to say, no, sorry, you cannot have $200,000 to get a degree in social justice. That's very stupid. Get a job, see what the world is like, and you'll realize you can do a lot without a degree. And it's not just me who thinks. It's Peter Thiel, founder of PayPal, so strongly believes that he succeeded despite his Stanford degree, not because of it, that he set up a scholarship. You get $50,000 a year for 2 years to not go to college. You can go to college after, but he's so sure that if you see what you can do without a college, that you'll never, ever even consider it. That's Peter Thiel. And I couldn't agree more. You can do a lot without college. You don't need $50,000 to do it. You just need to do it. And if that $50,000 helps you helps motivate you, great. But you don't need to win a scholarship. You don't need anybody's approval to find something that makes sense. And if you're ready to help change that, if you're ready to defund all federal student loans, if you're ready to shut down all that student aid that's there to make it easier for colleges to overcharge, please go to lp.org. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Fire can destroy your home, your business, and your life in seconds. On Speaking of Fire, with co-hosts Mike Schlattman and Donna Ingram, we investigate fire, the origin and causes, and provide important information to prevent accidental fires and save your life, loved ones, and your property. We speak to experts about technology, investigative research, and insurance issues with regard to fire. Tune in Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. The Voice America Live Events Channel is here now to showcase your corporate, individual, or organization's live event. Visit voiceamerica.com/live events to see all of our past live events and find out more. Whether it's a multi-day conference, special speaker, or single-day event, we've got everything to make your event a success. We can do a few hours or a few days. For more information about taking your event to the next level, call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or email info@voiceamerica.com. Again, that's Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or send us an email to info@voiceamerica.com. Voice America is where you are and where you want to be. Join us around the globe as we broadcast live from some of the most interesting events available. Don't forget to view all our live events, including on-demand access to past events that you may have missed by visiting voiceamerica.com/live events.
Thank you.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We have a few questions coming in. Here's a private question. I'll summarize, basically. The question is, didn't I get kicked off the Tom Woods show for talking about colleges? That's not actually true. That's not strictly true. Tom Woods actually is, as far as I understand, he is also a major opponent of the current college system. He also believes, I believe, you check with him, but I'm pretty sure that this is where he's coming from. I believe he also thinks that defunding this college, you know, robbery is a good first step. I think he also realizes that if colleges have to charge the actual market price, if 18-year-olds can't get $200,000 loans to pay for college, then colleges have to lower price by a lot. The reason that I got kicked off of the show, and I didn't get kicked off the show, I got disinvited from the show. I was originally invited, then I was disinvited, is because in my book, Lies, Damned Lies, and College Admissions, there are some parts that are a little bit incendiary. So it's the content of the book, not the actual position, that got me disinvited. I wasn't kicked off. It's not that I was on the show and he kicked me off. I was just preemptively disinvited from being on the show. And I don't think that's any big deal. You know, anybody who has a show has the right to have or not have whatever guest they want. And in this case, I was in the second category. If you ask a two-year-old, hey, two-year-old, do you want some candy? And they'll say yes. And they'll say, well, I'm going to charge you, have to give me $1 million for this candy. And they'll say, okay. Or some will say, okay. And then you'll just say, okay, here, you just need to sign these loan papers to get this $200,000, $1 million loan from a bank. And then this two-year-old's now in debt for life. Now, of course, an 18-year-old is different from a two-year-old, but there are certain circumstances, similarities, which is zero life experience, no knowledge of the marketplace, having been lied to by a college propaganda machine, and then they're saying, we say to 18-year-olds, by the way, you absolutely need to go to college, otherwise you'll just never amount to anything. Hey, do you want to go to college? They'll say, yeah, of course. Are you willing to take out this $200,000 loan sign right here? That is unbelievably immoral. That's predatory lending. When, you know, when people hear about predatory lending, it's that. That's what predatory lending is. It's loaning money to people who don't know what they're getting into, a huge amount of money. It's the worst kind of loan sharking. And that's what we're doing to kids. Fine, 18-year-olds aren't kids, whatever. We're doing to people who are inexperienced with life. It is absolutely immoral to allow that to continue. We need to end all college subsidies, end all guaranteed loans. Let the free market do what it does, including saying no. That's the good thing about the free market. Sometimes it says no. If I say I want to build a 55,000-foot skyscraper out of wood, the free market is going to say no. We're not paying for that. And if I say I want to take out a loan, the free market is going to say no, and that's good. It protects me. I don't end up in a lifelong debt because I had a stupid idea when I was 18. The free market is sometimes supposed to say no. That's okay. That's the great thing about it. It doesn't just say yes, 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 like government, even when you're asking for something super stupid. It says no. When it should say no, sometimes it says no. There are so many people I've talked to in their early 20s who wish the free market had been there to say no. Say, man, I wish I didn't have this debt. I don't need this degree. It's not getting me all the things that I was promised. I wish I just had the money. I wish I didn't have this debt. I meet people in their early 20s who just didn't go to college. And everyone's like, oh, you're such a loser. You're not going to college. And now they're the only ones who don't have debt. And while their friends were off at college getting drunk, they were learning. They were working. They were learning work ethic, learning how to show up, place at time, learning to become more innovative. They're becoming actual responsible, employable adults. The worst thing about going to college is after college, you are entirely unemployable. Why? Because you're too entitled and lazy. Honestly, that's the big thing. I often hire, you know, my business, we often hire people right out of college or even while they're still in college. That's the biggest issue. They're just too lazy. And we have system to handle that. And, you know, they grow out of it. The point is, college has hurt them. It has not helped them. I went to college. I thought it was a waste of time and money. The free market sometimes is going to say no. That's the awesome thing about the free market. And that includes the free market in charity, by the way. If you, let's say you have kids, you're married or you're not married, whatever, you have some kids, your fortunes change. You say to the free market, to the charitable services, listen, I need some help. And the free market says, the charity free market says, yeah. Now imagine this. You have a kid that you have no way of paying for. You have another kid, no way of paying for. You have a fourth, a fifth, a 20th kid, no way of paying for. Free market's going to have, wouldn't have let it get there. After the first kid, it would have said no. It would have said, we're not going to support this because we're trying to help people, those who are in need, those who face unexpected problems, not those who are just intent on creating problems for themselves. The free market would never let that 18-year-old get $200,000 in debt. They would say, okay, if this is a really, you really want to do this, we'll loan you $5,000, show us your grades, show us the difference, show us what you're learning, show us all this, and we'll give you another $5,000. There is no possible reason. There is no possible reason to take away the ability of the free market to say no. It's one of the best things that it does. We have a lot of interesting news this week. There's a lot of stuff happening in foreign policy. One of the biggest issues that we're seeing in foreign policy right now is that the United States is losing its way as a moral center. And what I mean by that is that when it comes to making trade policies, it is not including any issues that really matter in a moral sense. Things like freedom of speech, freedom of the press, natural rights, these aren't being considered. And so currently, we are involved in military treaties, in trade treaties with countries that are either violating freedom of the press or violating human rights in other ways. We are entering into treaties that are essentially, there's like no strings attached. I mean, we have to stay in the treaty and keep paying for stuff, but that doesn't put any limits on what other people in those or in our treaties are doing. And so we end up subsidizing and supporting governments that are actively engaged in very barbaric violations of human rights. You saw this with the TPP while it was alive. Many of the countries in that were being considered were countries that had major restrictions on the freedom of the press. And they also were not being super good about cracking down on piracy of music. The United States said, listen, we can fight for one. We can fight for freedom of the press. Or we can say, listen, you guys got to make sure that people don't pirate too much music. And, of course, they picked pirating the music. Now, if that had been a free market thing, if you had gotten to choose what you think is more important, then I bet you would put freedom of press above the interests of big, huge record labels. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with a big, huge record label, but when the needs of a big, huge record label become more important than moral needs, we have an issue. And this is not just things that happen in, you know, these out of the ways tiny little countries. Right now we are subsidizing all kinds of human rights violations, even in Europe. Not too long ago, France passed a law. And, you know, I know none of you guys are going to believe this law, so just look it up after you hear it. And the law banned you. I'm not lying about this. This is a real law. This is a real law that is on the books right now. It's still there. It's not like the law went anywhere. And we're still allies with France. We're still, like, you know, paying for their military. We're still making our military 50 times as big as we need in order to subsidize France so they can keep on enforcing immoral laws like this one. Because a law like this is not that easy to enforce because it is so absurd. No one thinks this law is morally okay. No one thinks this law is morally acceptable. People can see that this law maybe kind of helps maintain the welfare state to some extent, but no one's saying, wow, this is such a good and legitimate law. I really like this law. People are shocked by it. France, in its wisdom, has banned at-will paternity testing. That means if you're in France and you believe that your spouse or whoever has deceived you, has defrauded you, you are not allowed to check. You need to have a court order. France last year issued, I believe, 1,500 court orders to get paternity tests. The expected number of paternity fraud is in the several million, so we're talking about a tiny little fraction. Now, their justification is that if people find out that they've been lied to, they're going to get upset and there might be more divorces. No kidding! Of course they're going to get upset and there's going to be more divorces. That's the point. That's what divorce is for. That's when you use it. Divorce isn't for just like, hey, I think we're not really in love anymore. Divorce is for you lied to me, you defrauded me, I'm leaving. That's divorce. That's what it's designed for. I know in this modern era of we're always trying to make sure we're getting fulfillment or whatever, we also use it for other things, but it's definitely for that. And so France has literally taken away this natural right to the truth. And we are enabling it. They couldn't afford to enforce such a stupid law if we weren't paying for the defense. I mean, given how easy paternity testing is now, to enforce a law like that is very expensive. And given what's at stake, of course there's demand for paternity testing. A lot more than 1,500 paternity tests happened in the U.S. last year. We've let it get to that. And that, those are our allies. Those are our European allies. Our Western allies. Forget about the rest who are doing God knows what. That's France. If France had to fend for itself, if it needed to provide its own military, I guarantee you it would be treating its citizens a lot better. Right now you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America Channel.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. I want to talk a little bit more about some of these just basic rights violations. When a nation doesn't have to be responsible, then it develops a culture of irresponsibility. It is willing to subsidize irresponsibility. It is even willing to ban responsibility. That's what we're seeing with France right now. And now a lot of people say, well, are we really subsidizing France? NATO is such a small percent of the military budget. And that's true. NATO, the direct NATO fees, are a small percent. But here's what we've done. We've basically gotten ourselves 27 very, very, very lazy spouses who don't work, who don't do anything, who just expect to be taken care of. We're agreeing to provide military support for all of those countries. None of those countries is able to defend itself. Certainly none of those countries is able to make us any safer. The U.S. Army by itself is just as good at defending America as the U.S. Army plus France. So this is a one-way thing. We don't get any benefit. We are not any safer now. NATO is not making us safer. We're already safe enough all by ourselves. So if we need X units of military equipment because of NATO, we need to buy 50X. We need to buy 50 times what we need because we need to say, well, in addition to defending ourselves, we have to defend France and England and all these other places. Now, what if we just pulled out of NATO? The first thing is we'd save a lot of money, not just the NATO fees, although it would be nice to save those. It's not that they're invisible. They are there. It would be nice to save those fees. But in addition to that, we could scale down our military by about 90%. We can say to every country, listen, you go defend yourselves or kill each other. It's not our problem. Here's what's going to happen to those countries. Those countries are going to have to start to realize that, oh my God, we need to be responsible. Oh my God, we need to actually start treating our citizens with some kind of reasonable respect. Only a country that is so insane, only a country that just doesn't even need to be responsible for anything at all ever would be willing to do something as insane as to ban paternity testing, a basic fraud screening measure. Only a country like that only can happen in a culture of irresponsibility. Because what they're saying is irresponsibility is okay, but catching somebody's irresponsibility is not okay. That's what a law like that says. Yeah, fine, be irresponsible, but it's not okay to catch somebody at it. That's what we're subsidizing. In Britain, we're subsidizing the most just backwards health system in the whole universe. People sit there and wait in long lines for just basic things like knee replacements. You know how long you have to wait in America for a knee replacement? I don't know, 0 days? In Britain, 3/4 of forever. If those countries had to learn to be financially responsible, militarily responsible, protecting themselves, they would develop a culture of responsibility. Responsibility is cultural. It's the same. It's the same argument we have with ending the drug war. We say if you let people make decisions, they become responsible. I agree with that. You know, assuming you don't have a bunch of welfare everywhere, they become responsible. We have been giving Europe military welfare for 50 years, and the only result is all of Europe has become a big, giant welfare state. That's not their fault. That is our fault. We need to stop giving them welfare. We need to say, listen, if you want a military, you have to pay for it. That means you're not going to be able to pay for all this other stupid stuff. Are a bunch of Europeans going to be upset? I hope so. It's the first phase of changing their culture and lifestyle. What they're doing right now is immoral, it's backwards, it's wrong. It's interesting to see the way that a lot of these, you know, so-called rogue states are actually in many ways, in some ways I should say, less violatory of human rights than our supposed allies. In most parts of the world, there's no law against getting a paternity test. Even all these evil, repressive regimes, you still don't lose your right to the truth. See, that's the thing. That's the problem with something like this. This is saying you don't have the right to the truth. You don't have the right to collect basic evidence for the truth. And people are saying, well, you know, in America, when they talk about, you know, if you have nothing to hide, why do you care? And you're saying, well, that's because it's my privacy. Well, in this case, it's really like, if you have nothing to hide, why do you care? What difference does it make? It only matters if you're going to get caught doing something immoral. And in this case, the immoral thing is lying. Tricking somebody out of their money, tricking somebody out of their affection. I mean, you're stealing love is what you're doing, right? You're saying, this is not your kid, but I'm going to trick you into loving it. You are stealing someone's love and affection. You're stealing someone's energy. What could be worse than that? It's about as close as you can get to stealing somebody's soul. Maybe it is stealing somebody's soul. I don't know. We need to leave NATO. They don't share our values. They don't benefit us. We don't get any safer because we're allied with a bunch of backwards countries. It doesn't help them because it's just making them more and more socialists, enabling their socialism. We don't need to renegotiate NATO. We need to adjust things. We need to get out now. It's done. It's over. It had a mission at one point, which was to win the Cold War. You know what? It did. Or maybe something else did, but the Cold War is over. We won. Mission accomplished. Let's shut this thing down. The good news is there's a lot of libertarians who are running for various offices, various elected offices. And a lot of them have already pledged that if they're elected, they're going to sponsor legislation to get rid of NATO. Sorry, not to get rid of NATO, to leave NATO. And I couldn't agree more. I've been proud to also be one of the people pledging for that. You know, there's so many great things you can do if you join the Libertarian Party. I mean, the Libertarian Party is the spearhead of the libertarian movement. It is the most dynamic part of it. It's the most exciting part of it. It's the most principled part of it. It's probably one of the most exciting times I've ever had in my life has been being part of the Libertarian Party. And if you want to be part of it, please go to lp.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvind Vora again next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.